This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Companies that are having massive layoffs, the companies that routinely find themselves on the brink of bankruptcy, are time and time again bailed out by hundreds of millions of dollars from corporate conglomerates. Hundreds of millions. Vice, the Young Turks, Huffington Post, BuzzFeed. I mean, there's just a fire hose of cash being poured into those places, and they can barely stay afloat because they're liars, because they're full of crap, because their deceitful ways are bound inevitably to fail because they're not based off of truth and human connection. They're based off of lies and manipulation by corporate interests. So it's incredible that we've been able to maintain for as long as we have, but it's not a sure thing, and we do not have those big corporate, mega national, multinational mega corporations pouring hundreds of millions of dollars into InfoWars. You can only imagine if they were. I mean, what we could achieve would be absolutely incredible. We can't rely on them. They don't like us. They wouldn't give us money, and we wouldn't take it anyway because it would come with stipulations that we would not adhere to. So instead, we appeal to the American people at large, to the individuals out there who together can so overwhelm the influence of just a few billionaires that, the evidence is here. The evidence, the proof is in the pudding. I mean, we can do it when we all get together, when we all focus our power on a single issue, or the overarching issue of the corporate cabal that is now attempting to run everything in this country. We can overwhelm them no matter how much money they have pumped into their coffers, because we have the will of God at our backs, like the wind in our sails. Let me give you an example of this. Clip 14. This is a woman with over 400,000 followers on Instagram, and yet she's got a little bit of honor left in her. She's got a little bit of truth there at the forefront. Usually it's hard to even get followers on Instagram if you're not willing to whore yourself out. Here's a woman who did not do that, refuses to do that, and is now exposing the people trying to get her to do that. She's, an Instagram influencer with over 400,000 followers. Here's what she said about the vaccine.
To debate or anything, but I've just seen obviously the vaccine tab, and teach their own. If you want to get the vaccine, get the vaccine, to each your own. But I did just want to make a little note that I've received two vaccine campaigns paying thousands of dollars to go and get a vaccine, or go and get the vaccine and record it and take a selfie while getting the vaccine. Just gonna throw that out there.
Isn't that interesting? Isn't that interesting? Who's doing this? Who's offering this money? Why are they offering this money? Is it your money? Is this your tax dollars? Is this government organizations carrying this out? Is this non-governmental organizations funded by the Open Society Foundation or some sort of other Soros, Gates, Rothschild, front group putting this money up? Is it the pharmaceutical companies themselves? Some of the most evil, wicked, deceitful, death-causing, immoral companies in the history of the world are pharmaceutical companies. Oh, but now we have to allow them to inject us with an experimental serum, or else we're the bad guys. Here you see people willingly taking their selfies, people posting their vaccine cards, eating their donuts that they're being rewarded with, like a dog getting a treat for doing a trick. Truly incredible. So you have, she said twice, she's been offered thousands of dollars to go get a vaccine and post a selfie with it, knowing that this is the type of thing that influences her followers. Now, 400,000 plus followers, that's a lot. But there are a lot of influencers with that many people following them. There are a lot of accounts on Twitter with over 400,000 followers. And probably every single one of them is receiving multiple offers of thousands of dollars to get the vaccine, support it, and encourage their followers to get it. So this is what we're up against. It's happening in the media. It's happening with influencers.
All right, that's just the last few minutes of the American Journal with Harrison Smith. He really does a first-rate job with the producers and crew and callers and guests. Weekday mornings, 8 a.m. Central. Paul Watson takes over now. Stay with us. I'm a very humble person, but I'm also a bold person. And so as bad as things are with the globalists attacking humanity, with all the terrible things that are unfolding, I want you to know that a lot of positive things are happening as well. I'm a public figure, so I get to see things the general public doesn't get to see. And let me tell you, whether it's police chiefs or members of Congress or even folks in Hollywood or mainstream media or industry, people are really, really awake in the establishment. They don't want to go along with the globalists, but they're scared. They're looking for leadership. Well, that's where InfoWars comes in. You fund us. You support InfoWarsStore.com. You get great products at the same time. We will then go out and do what the globalists say is unpopular, what the globalists will target you for, to show people that it's safe to tell the truth and to take the heat. That's our job. So please keep us on air so we can hit the barbed wire, so we can be the shockproofs in the information war. Fund us at InfoWarsStore.com.
It is April the 14th. It is the Summit News Hour, and it is the week of the great reopening, or at least the start of it, in the United Kingdom, where we get the privilege afforded to us by government. Yes, the state has allowed us, in all its beneficence, to sit outside a pub or a restaurant, freezing our arses off, enjoying a pint of lager with up to six people. Six whole people. Again, it was literally snowing on Tuesday morning when they introduced these new rules. They relaxed the rules. It was literally snowing. It was about 5 degrees. Not much fun to be had. Although there was video, there was photographs of people enjoying themselves in Soho. And then we got all the usual recriminations from the fun police saying, oh my God, how dare they? They're going to cause a fourth wave. Well, when are we going to be able to go back to normal? Is the old normal ever coming back? If every time we revert back to a semblance of normal behavior, you have these ninnying, hysterical, hyperventilating Karens who come out and say, oh, you're going to cause the fourth wave. When are people going to be able to go back to normal life? Is this timetable anything aside from total BS? I would argue not, but we're going to start with some good news. This is out of the Telegraph. Quite a big revolt brewing in terms of the vaccine passport, which we've talked about a lot. Telegraph reports, we won't make customers show COVID passports, hospitality firms warn Boris Johnson. Now, Johnson came out with a statement a couple of days ago, and we're going to play the clip probably in the next segment now, where he said the lockdown, not the vaccine. They're now even trashing their own vaccine, which was supposedly the scientific cavalry that was coming to the rescue. Now, the scientific establishment itself, government spokespeople, are literally trashing their own vaccine. You have celebrities tweeting that they've had the vaccine, but they're still going to wear 2-3 masks. They're not going to go out. They're not going to see their family members. Literally undermining confidence and giving people no reason whatsoever to take the vaccine after having said the vaccine was vital. It was incredibly important that we did not undermine confidence in it, because obviously there are a lot of people who don't want to take it, not just for fear of it causing side effects, but criminals, basically, let's be honest, and illegal aliens who don't want to have any confrontation, any interaction with authorities on any level. A lot of BAME people, a lot of black people have this natural disposition to not trust health authorities for many different reasons. Big public relations campaign in this country to try to get them to take the vaccine. Now we're being told it's not the vaccine that's helping, it's the lockdown, because there's going to be a lockdown for this timetable is complete BS. But there are rumblings of a revolt. Article says more than 60 restaurant owners, nightclub operators and other hospitality figures have told Boris Johnson They will not force customers to show COVID passports. Bear in mind, on a sidebar, that this is the same Boris Johnson who, for 2 years over the course of 2004...
A very important point about...
2005, we'll go to that clip in the next segment. He was the same guy who, for 2 years during the Blair years, in the early part of the 2000s, railed against ID cards to the point of literally saying if somebody asked him for his ID card in the street, he would eat it up and spit it out. This is the guy now setting up the COVID passport, which is a biosecurity digital ID card. But there is a revolt brewing because in a letter to the Prime Minister, seen by the Telegraph, the signatories make clear their opposition to COVID status certification being used in hospitality settings. Now, bear in mind, the government has come out and said it won't be required now for anyone who wants to go into a pub or a restaurant. In fact, Boris Johnson was literally asked that question. He was asked, would these COVID passports be required for pubs and restaurants? And he basically said, no, not tomorrow, meaning not within that small window where they're still developing them. They lied to the public for the past 6 months, claiming there was no plans whatsoever for a domestic vaccine passport. Meanwhile, they're literally funding, to the tune of millions of pounds, the companies that were developing the technology while telling the public that it was never going to be on the agenda. They lied about that. They're going to lie about the timetable. But this letter signed by these restaurant and nightclub owners says we will not be forcing our patrons to show us any documentation referring to health status to gain entry. Says the intervention is a shot across the bows of the government as ministers consider whether to require restaurants and pubs to check the COVID status of customers. And just from anecdotal evidence, a lot of these premises are not enforcing this mandate, which is interesting because if you read about the so-called Green Pass, the vaccine passport in Israel, you see the same thing occurring. Israel introduced their vaccine passport to try to convince young people to get the vaccine. And largely it worked. Huge numbers of young people got the vaccine as a result of the threat or the promise of not being able to go back into nightclubs, bars, restaurants, etc. It worked. But then if you read about how it's being enforced, it's not being enforced. The owners of the premises, the bars, restaurants, nightclubs, are not asking the Israelis when they go into these venues to show their vaccine passport. And in fact, the government in Israel gave them no advice on how to enforce it. The authorities themselves have not stepped in and said, no, you need to enforce it. So it was entirely a public relations ploy to make people take the vaccine. They're not actually enforcing the vaccine passport, at least not at this point. But the UK government, in its own vaccine passport planning document, did not rule out introducing it. Cinemas, for pubs, for nightclubs, they're already doing tests for these big stadia sports events over the next couple of months. Again, after having lied to the public for the past 6 months and said that it was never on the agenda. But among the signatories are the CEOs of Recom UK, which runs 42 nightclubs, and Tokyo Industries, which runs clubs, festivals and bars. Others backing the letter include senior figures at venues such as the Hippodrome Casino, big casino in London, Electric Star Pubs, Bocca di Lupo, Proud Cabaret, Brindisa, and Burger and Lobster. By the way, as I was saying, from anecdotal evidence, I haven't been out to a pub yet this week and celebrated this great freedom that the government has given us, this great privilege of engaging in basic, everyday, normal behavior, because I don't want to have idiots in masks screeching at me demanding my details be put into a database. But from what I've been told from friends who have been out to the pub, it's either being enforced in a very lax manner or it's not being enforced at all. And that's what you see with a lot of these businesses that have lost tons of money over the course of the pandemic, while billionaires have literally doubled their wealth, transnational corporations have swallowed up their competition and grown fat on the profits of this pandemic. You will find that a lot of these small businesses are revolting against this tyranny, against this attack on their livelihood, by refusing to enforce these mandates. The local hairdressers that I go to, which I won't name for obvious reasons, enforces absolutely nothing. They don't wear masks, they don't care, and they think the whole thing's basically a fraud. So a lot of premises are similar, and now we've had this letter with all these different nightclub, bar, restaurant owners saying they are not going to enforce the COVID passport, whatever the government tells them to do. And it's an open letter that will be added to, and they've invited other business, bar, nightclub owners to add their name to that list. So a big revolt brewing in terms of the vaccine passport. We also have this, which I'll get into more after the break. But finally, Christian leaders, perhaps understanding that the vaccine passport is going to be an integral part of an embryonic social credit score here in Western Europe, are finally growing a backbone. Lockdown Skeptics reports Christian leaders warn against the introduction of medical apartheid under a vaccine passport scheme. You would hope they'd also have read the Book of Revelations, where it says nobody who hasn't had the mark would have the right to buy or sell. Quite similar to what's unfolding in reality in 2021. We'll be right back. This is the Summit News Hour. More to come. Join us on the other side. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
There's so much hand sanitizer on the market, but beware. Not all hand sanitizers are created equal. That's why you want to use 2020 Safe Hand Sanitizer. You can trust the hand sanitizer on 2020safe.net to be made with the highest quality ingredients. American made with American ingredients employing Americans. Log on now to 2020safe.net and order your 1 liter today. Normally $29.99, but reduced to $19.99. So hurry while supplies last and receive a bonus. That's right. You'll receive a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster, a $39.95 value, free, by using code GCN at checkout. Right now, click 2020safe.net. That's 2020safe.net to get our 1 liter bottle of high-quality hand sanitizer with your free bonus, a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster valued at $39.95. Remember to enter GCN at checkout, and the bonus is yours, free, 2020safe.net.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamel Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach, at wholesale or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to teamgaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's teamgaday.com with Youngevity. Teamgaday.com.
Summit.News headquarters. It's Paul Joseph Watson.
Well, as part of this so-called lifting of coronavirus lockdown restrictions in the United Kingdom, we've seen an increase in policing of behaviour that would otherwise in any other time in recent history be described as perfectly normal, reasonable behaviour. In fact, there was an image on the day that the shops opened a couple of days ago in London from Oxford Street, and it's featured at the top of the story, which is headlined, "Poll, significant proportion of Brits say they have enjoyed lockdown," which I'm going to get into later. And it's of this ethnically ambiguous security guard wearing his mask, obviously, but it looks more like a ski mask. He's literally got an attack dog waiting to pounce. This is the new biosecurity police state that's been gradually rolled out, even as they tell us that our freedoms are being returned to us, as if that was ever a reasonable deal in the first place. Of course, under English common law, any kind of behaviour is legal unless it's expressly disallowed or made illegal by the government. That entire philosophy has been completely reversed over the past year, and now every freedom that we enjoy is provided to us by the government on condition of our compliance and our personal behaviour being in line with exactly what they want. That didn't happen in the case of a Scottish grandmother. Headline out of the Daily Mail, "Why do I need a shield if I've had the vaccine? Scottish grandmother, 82, who stayed indoors for a year, is given a £60 COVID fine after police broke up illegal 70th birthday with seven friends, despite them all having the jab." So there's eight people, they've all had the jab, it's a 70-year-old woman's birthday party at her own home. The police broke up the celebration. Can you imagine reading a headline 13, 14 months ago about police breaking into someone's home and issuing fines to grandmothers because they had seven of their friends around for a birthday party? That's our new normal. But it turns out that she got away lightly, because in Liverpool, Merseyside in the UK, police break down door, arrest man for violating COVID quarantine rules. We have the 1 minute clip of this shocking incident, and here it is.
And any of this, right? You will be going to court for criminal damage and everything. We have kept
Martin, you're under arrest for a breach of COVID regulations. You failed to quarantine in a designated hotel when instructed to do so. You do not have to say anything that may harm your defence. If you do not mention something which you later rely upon, anything you do say may be given in evidence. Do you understand?
Are you standing on?
So there you have it. Literally, because the guy presumably went on holiday to one of these red list countries, he comes back and he refuses or fails to quarantine in a hotel. You literally have to pay to quarantine yourself in a hotel, returning to your own country. People who even travel to the airport, by the way, with the intention of going on holiday or going abroad for, quote, no good reason, are immediately fined £5,000. This guy, who allegedly returned to his own country from another country which was on the government's red list and failed to put himself under house arrest in a government-run hotel, pay for his own imprisonment. Not only does he face a fine of up to £10,000, he faces a prison sentence of up to 10 years in jail simply for returning to his own country and refusing to put himself under house arrest over a virus which, even if he caught it, he would have a 99.8% chance of surviving. This is the new biosecurity police state, and it's one that's not ending anytime soon, because now Boris Johnson, even before these measures have been lifted completely, is already making noises that he's going to impose lockdown for. We have that clip from a BBC interview. Let's roll it right now.
I want to make a very important point about where we are with the pandemic, because clearly everybody's been able yesterday to go to the pub, or those people be going to the pub to go shopping, get a haircut, and so on, and that's great. And the numbers are down of infections and hospitalizations and deaths, but it is very, very important for everybody to understand that the reduction in these numbers, in hospitalizations and in deaths and in infections, has not been achieved by the vaccination program. People don't, I think, appreciate that it's the lockdown that has been overwhelmingly important in delivering this improvement in the pandemic and in the figures that we're seeing. And so, yes, of course, the vaccination program has helped, but the bulk of the work in reducing the disease has been done by the lockdown. So, as we unlock, the result will inevitably be that we will see more infection. Sadly, we will see more hospitalisation and deaths. And people have just got to understand that. At the moment, I can't see any reason for us to change the roadmap, to deviate from the targets that we've set ourselves, and you know what they are: May the 17th, June the 21st, the next waymarks on the roadmap. But it is very, very important that if we're to get there in the way that we all want, that people continue to be cautious.
Now, we know the timetable, the unlocking itself, is complete BS, because even after that date on June 21st, we're going to have sporting events, football matches, where the government has said the capacity at those matches will be, I think the maximum is 50%. After all the restrictions we were told are going to be lifted, there are still going to be restrictions, proving it's nonsense. The other point is the cases were falling on all three occasions before the lockdown. So the lockdown had no effect. The cases were already falling. And as lockdown skeptics report, Boris is wrong. The lockdown has not been overwhelmingly important. You can compare it to Texas, Georgia, Florida, South Dakota, and specifically Sweden, which had a similar, almost identical trajectory in terms of cases, COVID cases, as the United Kingdom. A slightly lower death rate as well. And of course, as we know, Sweden did not lock down at any point, yet the trajectory of how these cases rose and fell almost mirrors what happened in the United Kingdom with those three separate lockdowns. So when he talks about lockdown being to thank for all this, and that the vaccine apparently doesn't really matter at this point, with them having triumphed it for so many months, we know that that's because they're preparing us for lockdown four, because they're going to blame our freedoms being exercised on a fourth wave of the pandemic. Don't go away. We'll be right
back. I'm up here working on a Thursday night in mid-April 2021. And I just want to say something. I am so blessed and honored to work with this incredible crew that has come together over the years and is truly an answer to prayer. And I am so blessed and thankful for all of you, the listeners of this show. I want you to know that I love you and I appreciate you. Whether you are old, whether you are Hispanic, white, black, it doesn't matter. You've got red blood. And if you love freedom and justice, and if you love our innocent children, we are brothers and sisters together. And it has just been an incredible experience to work with you over the years.
And as crazier things are, I want to keep working in the future. But again, that's really up to you and up to God. So please, I hope God works through you and puts a message in your heart to support us. But again, that's up to you and your relationship with God. I just want to thank you all for the years of support you've given us and what you've done. And just ask you again to pray to God and ask what God's vision is for you. And hopefully God will touch your heart to continue to support InfoWars. God bless.
We are GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. We've got listeners, lots of them. Around the world, around the clock, our listeners do what listeners do. They listen. And you know what listeners got? Needs. Needs for your products, your services, and money to buy those needs. With our network of over 1,000 radio stations, streaming on the web, and our satellite transmissions, we're reaching our listeners with quality conservative programming. But there's something our listeners don't have. Your offer to meet their needs. Any business needs buyers. But if our listeners don't hear your message, they're still going to buy what they need. Just not from your business. So let's fix this. Tell us about your business. Then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message for our GCN listeners. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email, advertise@gcnlive.com.
Have you heard the warning from the dead doctors don't lie guy? I'm talking about Dr. Joel Wallach. He says if you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol or high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, or other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. That's what he says. He has a free lecture revealing what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in his free lecture called Deadly Recipe. You want it free? Call them toll-free at 855-79-YOUNG. You ready? 855-79-YOUNG. Dr. Joel Wallach, the dead doctors don't lie guy, says there's no reason why we shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
Did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Broadcasting internationally from the Summit.News headquarters in the United Kingdom, it's Paul Joseph Watson.
Now, when you watch that chilling video of police smashing into a man's house, the glass almost hitting the dog as it panics and runs up the stairs, and him being put in handcuffs as he's told he violated COVID quarantine rules, bear in mind that that's precisely what China was doing over a year ago when this pandemic was begun by them deliberately releasing the virus from a lab, as some people claim. We also saw footage of people being welded inside their homes in China, people being kidnapped off the street for failing to quarantine properly, thrown into government vans and taken to quarantine camps. And of course we said, oh, that could never happen here. Well, it is happening here, and in fact, the government advisors that put us under lockdown in the first place planned it all along. Professor Neil Ferguson, this was the guy who set up the model, the completely inaccurate model, that claimed 500,000 people in the UK would die from coronavirus. Now, he looked at what China did, and of course, China became the global example of how to respond to a virus pandemic. Beforehand, it was herd immunity. Suddenly, that became a dirty word. And the only way to respond to it was to keep the population locked up for a year, enabling it to develop no herd immunity whatsoever, naturally. So China became the global model of how to respond to the pandemic. China was praised for its actions. Professor Neil Ferguson, the head of the, or an advisor to SAGE, which advises the government, he was responsible for creating the model that led to the lockdown of the UK. Despite the fact that Boris Johnson beforehand was going to go for herd immunity, his mind was changed by Ferguson and others like him. This was the same guy who thought that the virus was so deadly, represented such a threat, that he had to advise the Prime Minister to put the entire country under lockdown. But him personally, he was travelling 45 minutes across London to go and shag his married mistress right at the height of the first lockdown, when everyone else was only able to go outside for an hour's exercise and to buy food at the local grocery store. This guy, though, the guy who told us the pandemic, the virus, was such a threat we needed to lock down or 500,000 people would die, he was travelling 45 minutes across London to have sex with his married mistress. The rules didn't apply to him, and he didn't appear to treat the virus as seriously as he told the public when he was advising the government. But he said, in response to China's actions in detaining people, welding people inside their houses, that authoritarian draconian response in the early weeks and months of the pandemic, he said, quote, "It's a communist one-party state, we said. We couldn't get away with it in Europe, we thought. And then Italy did it, and we realized we could." So there he's openly admitting that they looked at what China was doing and thought, damn, we'll never get away with this. But then the public began to accept it. The public was terrorized by the non-stop propaganda, to the point where polls showed that, for example, Americans back in August thought coronavirus had killed 30 million people in the United States, 225 times more than it did. People were that brainwashed that Professor Ferguson and his ilk knew then that they could get away with it. And now we see people literally being raided, their doors smashed down by police, being put in handcuffs. And this guy facing 10 years in jail for the crime of not forcefully putting himself under house arrest and paying for the privilege after he returned to his own country. This isn't going to end here either, as we saw before the break. They're now talking about preparing the public for lockdown 4. They're going to give us 2 months of freedom, maybe 3 months of freedom. And then they're going to say, oh, well, you just enjoyed yourself a little bit too much, didn't you? Get back inside. Oh, but we took the vaccine. I thought the vaccine was the scientific cavalry to the rescue. No, forget about that. We've changed our opinion. They're gonna end up saying their own vaccine doesn't work at this point. Meanwhile, Frederick Forsyth, acclaimed British author, says government has launched a campaign of mass fear against British public. If only there were more people with his gravitas who were speaking out. This was in response to a Telegraph article who he congratulated the author for, revealing that the campaign of mass fear that reduced a once brave nation to trembling terror was deliberately organized to secure obedience to the policy of lockdown. That's from Frederick Forsyth himself. He said, quote, "I've only once before seen anything like it. This was when I was posted to East Germany in 1962. Such a brainwashing tactic was employed to frighten East Berliners into believing that the Berlin Wall was a defensive measure to protect them from tiny West Berlin, and that the Stasi was their guardian. The wall was, of course, an instrument of enslavement." He went on to say, "I never thought that the government of a country whose uniform I once wore with such pride would sink so low. Those responsible should be identified without delay and ousted from all office over us." That's Frederick Forsyth, acclaimed author. Again, talking about what he's witnessing reminds him of his experiences in East Germany with the Stasi, where, of course, 1 in 7 of the population was an informant for the state. We had an article a couple of weeks ago where police in Dorset, an area of the UK down south, which is popular amongst holidaymakers, came out, the police chief came out and said, we don't even need to patrol the beaches anymore. We don't even need to patrol the parks anymore because we're getting so many tip-offs from public snoops, from grassers, that we just respond to them individually. And they don't need to even patrol because the stars eat like spies are doing their work for them. He said, quote, the headline, by the way, is UK police chief brags that COVID patrols aren't necessary because there are so many snitches. So, quote, we are still getting around 400 reports a week from the public. This is in one area alone. So we will respond to reports. We won't need to be doing hotspot patrols because people are very quick to pick the phone up and tell us. So again, these are the curtain twitchers, the Karens, who see a family having fun on the beach, who maybe see the grandkids who haven't seen their grandma for a year, hugging. Literally, the government told people not to hug each other, by the way. They also told hairdressers not to cut people's hair for too long a time. That's literally that level of micromanagement now. So it's these curtain twitching Karens who are seeing this disgraceful normal life behavior, calling the police. The police are coming out. Now the police are bragging because of all these Stasi-like spies that they don't even need to patrol. They just respond to the snitch reports. Good news out of Germany, though. Again, this is on lockdownskeptics.org. Weimar court prohibits mask wearing, distancing measures, and rapid testing at schools. A court in Weimar, Germany has ruled that two schools should be prevented with immediate effect from forcing their pupils to wear masks, along with imposing social distancing measures and insisting on COVID tests, saying that the state legislature regulating this area has gone far removed from the facts, which has taken on seemingly historic proportions. And what's interesting about this is that they bravely, in a sense, ruled out masks whatsoever as an instrument of preventing the spread of the infection. Not only that, though, they said masks were making the infections worse. Now, you'll recall across European countries when France, Italy, Germany, Spain, the UK introduced these mask mandates at the end of the summer, or even before the end of the summer in the case of Spain, the coronavirus cases shot up. Listen to what this German court concluded on the subject of face masks. As the appraiser further explains, every mask must be worn correctly in order to be effective. In principle, masks can become a contamination risk if touched. On the one hand, however, they are not worn properly by the population, and on the other hand, they are very often touched with their hands. Goes on to say the population was not taught how to properly wear them. Goes on to say the population was virtually left alone with the masks. The risk of infection is not only not reduced by wearing the mask, but is increased by incorrect handling of the mask. So they literally ruled in this court ruling in Germany that the masks not only don't stop the spread of the infection, they're making the coronavirus pandemic worse. And we'll be back with the final segment, Summit. Got news. We'll be right back.
According to the Wall Street Journal, the new book, The Great Devaluation, is the number one business book in the world. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta, two-time national best-selling author and owner of Advantage Gold, hands down the highest-rated gold firm in the country. We help investors put physical metals inside their IRAs. My first book, Gold is a Better Way, sparked a movement. My new book, The Great Devaluation, is the number one book in the country. I believe every investor should own physical metals. It's why I'm giving away my best-selling book to anyone with an IRA with over $100,000 for free. Call 800-900-8000 to get the bestseller, The Great Devaluation, sent directly to your door. That's 800-900-8000. The new decision is now obvious. Don't you deserve to do it with the best? Call 800-900-8000 for your free book today. That's 800-900-8000.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Are you curious about what might be missing from your diet and supplement choices? Take a free health assessment to identify your possible nutrient deficiencies. As a certified holistic health coach, I will help you assess and prioritize a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Transmitting worldwide from the Summit.News studios in the United Kingdom, you are listening to Paul Joseph Watson.
On from COVID and lockdowns now, because believe it or not, there are still some other news stories happening in the world, one of which is up on Summit.News. Man radicalized by Asian hate crime media propaganda attacks Asian woman he mistakenly thought was white. Yes, we have yet another example of someone acting out violently on a fake hate crime narrative that's been spun by the mainstream media in the context of Asian hate crimes. Of course, we've documented this vehemently over the past few months, during which the media has tried to contrive a narrative that white people, or white supremacy in general, are responsible for a rise in hate crime attacks against Asian Americans. Now, unfortunately, when you look at the crime stats, that narrative isn't borne out. FBI statistics show that whereas whites comprise 62% of the population in America, they committed only 24% of crimes against Asians in 2018. In comparison, African Americans, who comprise 13% of the population, committed 27.5% of all violent crimes against Asian Americans in 2018. So again, they're less of the population significantly, and yet they commit more violent crimes against Asians. In addition, and this is documented in the link from this article, out of a spate of recent high-profile hate crime attacks on Asians, virtually all the culprits are black males, and you can go and click on the article, and it goes through all the different examples, the screenshots from the NYPD, for example, in the case of a black man who punched and kicked a 65-year-old Asian woman while making racist statements. Again, you know, white supremacy strikes again. By the way, that video shows that the individuals inside the building where this happened, right outside, did nothing whatsoever to help the victim. Another instance, a person violently beats up and punches an Asian male in the head repeatedly in a Manhattan-bound train. The culprit was African-American. White supremacy strikes again. Another example, quote, Chinese lady, ugly ass chink. An Asian-American woman was subjected to a racist tirade on a bus in Miami. Culprit, African-American male. New York Post tweets, prosecutors probing subway attack on Asian man as possible hate crime. Culprit, African-American male. There's a trend emerging, and it ain't white supremacy. What's funny about this, though, is that Eugene Gu, this blue checkmark doctor on Twitter, said that black on Asian crimes only occur because of our system of white supremacy. So even when they're all being committed by African American males, it's still white people's fault. Well, now that fake narrative has borne out. Violence and crime in relation to a sexual assault at gunpoint, which took place in, where is this? I think it's Los Angeles. Yes, it's Lake Forest, California, where a man who was radicalized by inaccurate media propaganda concerning a supposed wave of hate crimes targeting Asians, blamed on white supremacy, tried to take revenge by sexually assaulting a woman at gunpoint because he presumed she was white. She wasn't even white, by the way. She was Asian. But who cares at this point? She looks a bit white. He must be to blame for something, right? Let's rape her at gunpoint. That's literally what was going through this guy's head because of what he saw on the mainstream media. And they continually contrive this moral panic about white nationalism incentivizing violent crimes. This is a clear example where they incentivize the violent crime. There will be no consequences for their actions. 37-year-old Michael Sangbong-ri was arrested by police in Lake Forest, California, after he allegedly attacked a woman who turned out to be Asian, quote, in retaliation for the rise in hate crimes against Asian people. Basically, she was sitting in the driver's seat of her car. She looked up to see this criminal standing at the door holding a handgun. He then forced her to get into the back of the car, started to grope her, looked like he was preparing to rape her at gunpoint. Thankfully, somebody else saw what was going on. The victim struggled with Ri, and she yelled to a maintenance worker that he had a gun. So she got away, thankfully, without being seriously hurt or raped by the looks of it. Says detectives believe Ri, who is Korean, targeted the woman because he thought she was white based on his own statements and that the assault was in retaliation for hate crimes that have skyrocketed against Asian people. Now, there's debate as to whether those crimes have skyrocketed. I think there's been a slight uptick over the past year. But even as Asian scholars have pointed out, with quotes I've included in these kind of articles, in so-called high-crime neighborhoods, that's always been a massive problem. It's just had a slight uptick this year. And again, the FBI stats show, all the high-profile recent examples show that that hate crime wave, if it is happening against Asian people, is not the fault of white people. But in this case, a white person was targeted for retribution because this violent criminal falsely bought into that fake narrative. Meanwhile, white boy summer meme denounced as racist by actual racists. So let me explain this one. There's a lot to unpack here. This is Chet Hanks, who is the son of actor Tom Hanks, and he's basically a failed rapper. Let's be generous. Let's call him an aspiring rapper. He put out a video a couple of weeks ago, and he basically said, I've got this feeling it's about to be a white boy summer. Now, he was creating a meme as a silly marketing tool to sell white boy summer merchandise, T-shirts, hoodies, and to put out a rap video, which he's now released as of yesterday, called White Boy Summer. So it's a meme based on the Megan Thee Stallion song from 2019, which was called Hot Girl Summer. But of course, immediately, the leftists, the mainstream media, assumed, because their moral panic requires that they assume everything that happens in the world now is a result of white supremacy, despite Mr. Hanks immediately clarifying that the whole thing had nothing to do with ethnicity. It was just a stupid meme, and it's a stupid marketing ploy. But now it actually has been adopted by actual white supremacists because of the media's overreaction to it. But Hanks himself said, quote, "I'm not talking about Trump NASCAR-type white. I'm talking about me, rappers, white boys, you know what I mean." He subsequently emphasized he was trying to spread an anti-racist message, basically saying that everyone can embrace white boy summer. He then laid out the rules for white boy summer, which included not harassing women, not getting in people's face with booze breath. So he basically said it was an anti-racist thing, and it was about respecting women. But, of course, that was not good enough for the media, who, despite his many clarifications, accused Hanks of racism anyway. He launched a line of merchandise featuring the words White Boy Summer, but was immediately accused of mimicking white supremacists because he used a Gothic-style font. And yes, in case you didn't get the memo, as we highlighted a few days ago with CNN and Chinese-style fonts, fonts are now racist too. So because a white person had the temerity to use a Gothic-style font for T-shirt designs, this is yet another ominous sign of white supremacy run rampant. He even designed a T-shirt with this chilling, scary Gothic font that said "Stop Hate," and wore it in the official White Boy Summer video, which primarily consists of the rapper dancing with twerking women, half of whom are black. But again, this is all about white supremacy. The left-wing newspaper The Guardian said the typography was similar to the Fraktur fonts which were used in Nazi Germany, most prominently on the cover of Hitler's Mein Kampf book. Another Twitter user said the merch looks aggressively racist. Another one said that any type of typeface that white people should avoid, anything remotely calligraphic, black letter looking pops immediately to mind, especially if it's going to include the word white. Then we had a Guardian columnist, Arwa Mawadi, who's worried that Hanks's dopey exploits will fuel racial strife, and she literally wrote an article with the headline, "Chet Hanks keeps calling for a white boy summer and he really needs to stop." So again, this all goes back to the fact that the thing is just a dopey marketing gimmick. It has nothing to do with white supremacy. This Chet Hanks character is a complete idiot. He's not smart enough even to tie it into that. But again, the point is, he can't even refer to his own ethnicity in any other context than this self-loathing white guilt that's been impressed upon white people that we need to atone for our perceived historical sins. He can't do that. He can't even refer to his own ethnicity in anything other than a negative light without being accused of fueling racism. Any kind of relaxed confidence that he's comfortable in his own skin is strictly forbidden by a society that mandates white people constantly engage themselves in moral self-flagellation to atone for their supposed sins. That's going to wrap it up. Summit.news War Room is next. Don't go away.
The old way of living with diabetes is a pain. You've got to remember to do your testing, and you always need to be sticking your fingers. The new way to live your life with diabetes is with a continuous glucose monitor. You simply apply a discreet, easy-to-use sensor on your body, and it continuously monitors your glucose levels, helping you spend more time in range and freeing you from painful finger pricks. If you test your blood sugar at least 4 times per day and inject insulin at least 3 times per day, or use an insulin pump and have private insurance or Medicare, you might be eligible for a CGM with little or no cost to you. Call U.S. Medical Supply today for a free benefits check. We offer free shipping, 90-day supplies, and we bill Medicare or your insurance directly. Call now and say goodbye to finger pricks.
800-880-1896. 800-880-1896. 800-880-1896. That's 800-880-1896.